listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up? What up? What up? It is the Forza Podcast. It is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020. It is a beautiful day. Not really. It's hot as hell, but it's a great day to be a Miami Hurricane. As always, I am joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan! Talk to me, baby. Talk to me.
What's up, man? It's a good day. I'm loving this heat, dude. I was so tired of winter, and spring is a complete joke here in Salt Lake City. It's 45 degrees until it's 90 is what it feels like. So I'm loving the weather out by the pool. I'm grilling. I'm eating good. I'm having a good time, man. How are you?
You know, it's been a tumultuous week and a half in our country. And again, just like we said last episode, you know, all of our thoughts and prayers goes out to the family of George Floyd. And it's a horrible situation. And both of us have expressed our gratitude and sincere condolences on social media. And it's been a very, very crazy couple of days, man. They've had protests all over the country, even here in Salt Lake City. We had a guy with a bow and arrow.
Like, oh my god, like,
what the hell was that? Like, why did that have to be in Utah?
I don't know, man.
Like, what did he think was gonna happen? But that's a whole nother topic. We want to be positive today, and it is a, like I said in my intro, it is a great mother freaking day to be a Miami Hurricane, because my guy Jacoby George has recommitted to the Miami Hurricanes, four-star wide receiver at a plantation last year. And we'll talk more about recruiting on Thursday or whenever we record next, but just a brief overview of Jacoby George. Caught 46 passes last year, 1,030 yards, 12 touchdowns. The dude is an absolute threat. He's an Under Armour All-American. I've been saying that for a few months now, how big of a fan I am of his game. Jordan, you got anything on that?
Dude, I mean, I just want to echo what you're saying. I'm pumped about it. You know, we really need some stud wide receivers, and George helps that. I'm hoping that we can add to this class with Romello Brinson, and I don't know, man. I'm loving the new coaching additions. You know, everyone is kind of killing it in recruiting. Surprisingly, I think, you know, Rhett Lashley has yet to make as big of a splash as the other ones, but you know, I'm not going to complain about Rhett. I'm so happy with him too. So
yes, president.
Yeah, our president Rhett Lashley. You know,
Lord Lashley.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you never know if, we'll talk about this briefly, but you never know what could happen with Golden Boy Jake Garcia. Now that Miller Moss has committed to USC, same school that Jake has committed to, five-star quarterback out of California. He's visited Miami before. Manny went and saw him back in January. I love Jake Garcia. We were talking before the show started. The dude, Jake Garcia, just looks like he belongs in Miami. I mean, he's the golden boy. He's the chosen one.
Yes. I mean, we talked about it last episode. You know, Jake Garcia was kind of the guy that we wanted all along. You know, and I've been trying to tweet at, you know, hoping that I can make some kind of an impact, just saying, like, you know, USC just took Miller Moss, but you are a guy from day one. You know, the only reason that we took our foot off the gas pedal was because he committed to USC. So, yeah, dude, I'm a huge Jake Garcia stan. He's the guy, in my opinion. I'd love Milrow. Is it Jalen Milrow?
Yeah.
I'd love him as well, but like, him and Jake Garcia are 1A and 1B in this class for me. So I would have taken Garcia over Moss at any point in this process.
Oh, I, and like, just think about like last April when he was coming to visit Miami, like how hyped everyone was. And
yeah,
I mean, like you said, like we have been on him since for a year now. And like, we love him. He's the one that will restore balance to the Force. He is the chosen one.
He is
Anakin.
Yeah.
He almost kind of looks like him.
Yeah.
I just noticed that. Have you? Oh my God. He kind of looks like whatever the hell that actor's name is.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Now all we need to find out is that he's from like a tiny town in Palm Desert and doesn't have a dad.
And he likes to race pace or space rocks or whatever.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah,
dude,
no.
Okay.
Dude, I'm pumped about just everything that's going on with recruiting. We're set up really well. I mean, I hate to say it, but we've seen this movie before. I just hope the ending's a little different.
Though, doesn't it?
Like, yeah, I say that every year, bro.
But like, actually, like this is actually different, and like. Like everyone that says like, oh, but we said that last year, the comparison from last year to this year is like night and day. Like,
yeah.
We have a proven quarterback, like who, in other news, I don't want to gossip, but one of our quarterbacks I think is now single.
Really? Did that happen?
I mean, I'm not going to spread any rumors, but that's just what I've been told. And, you know, I'm still grieving.
Yeah. So are you saying that Bubba Baxter can get his girlfriend back?
Where the hell is Bubba Baxter right now?
Dude, we traded him straight up.
Like, what is he doing right now? That man looks like he like. Was like a billy goat or something, but okay.
Bad for Bubba, man. He just.
I know. I really do feel bad. One of the greatest. Before we get into the mailbags, one of the greatest screenshots in college football history was Bubba Bax's first game against LSU, and they put up a stat line that he made 4 out of 10 field goals as a high school senior.
Yeah, you know, I always
he missed the next kick.
Yeah, I always wondered about that though, because I saw that stat, and then they're like, "Oh, but he's the second ranked kicker in high school football," and I was like looking around, like maybe something happened that I didn't, you know. I was thinking that the whole time during his recruiting, and everyone's like, "Oh, we got Bubba coming." It's like, yeah, but
he's not good.
Yeah, I was like, who's ranking me? Who's ranking me?
Like, no, how is a 40% kicker the number 2 kicker in the country?
Yeah, I was so puzzled.
I shouldn't be laughing this hard.
Yeah, no, Bubba, we respect you, brother. It's I feel bad that your Miami experience was so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, but now we got the and we got little Borregales committed in this upcoming class too. So, who is actually the number 1 kicker in the country and who actually can make kicks? So,
I hope he's better than 4-10. That's all I'm gonna say. He's 5.
I have to find that screenshot because. Yeah. I laughed my ass off, and it was right before he attempted a kick that he missed. And right when I saw that, I'm like. Yeah, there's no way this is going in. There's no way in hell he's making this. But, okay, so for today, no guests today. We want to do a mailbag episode. We've done these in the past. I'm a huge fan of them. So we got questions from you guys for the past day. Jordan, why don't you fire up the first question?
All right. Let me pull up Twitter. Crap, I had it all set up. And now it's not where I wanted it to be.
Here, I got one up right now.
Go for it. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. So the first one comes from Robert Hampton. listener of the show, good person, good Canes fan. Thank you for the question. And he's asked, who is a sleeper to pay attention to? Someone who redshirted or just enrolled?
So I'm going to go with I always get these three guys confused. So I'm just going to lump all of them together. But I'm going to go with our redshirt freshman defensive tackles. It's Harrison Hunt, Jason Blissett, and what's the last dude's name?
Harrison Hunt.
I already said him. So it's Jason Blissett, Jared Harrison Hunt, and another guy. But
I know this because he follows me on Instagram. What the hell? Holly. Jalar yeah. Holly.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with those three dudes. I feel like out of all of our spots on defense, I think that is, you know, defensive tackle is the one where someone really has an opportunity to bust through and make a name for themselves. You know, I think Nesta and Jordan Miller are pretty, or John Ford. Yeah, it's John Ford. Are pretty comfortably like the starters, you know. But I think there's opportunity there if someone really has a bust through season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been talking those defensive tackles up since last fall camp because I remember Coach Stroud said, you know, these are the most, you know, these are the best freshman defensive tackles I've ever coached. And, yeah. You know, when someone says something like that, it catches your eye. And so I like that. For me, I'm going to go sleeper. Because Jeremiah Payton isn't a sleeper. I'd say Avery Huff isn't a sleeper. I'm going to say Jafari Harvey.
Okay.
I know that he's not quite a sleeper, but I mean, when you think about defensive ends, you just think about Jalen Phillips, Gregory Rousseau, and Quincy Roche. You know, obviously Jalen Phillips is going to back up one of those guys, but who's going to back up the other one? You know, it's going to be Jafari Harvey, in my opinion. The dude is an absolute freak of nature, like athletically, and you look at him, he's just a tank. 6'4", 232, redshirt freshman out of Vero Beach. I'm a big fan of him. He only had one tackle last year. I think he only played in four games, obviously, you know, with his redshirt. But I think he has a very, very bright future, and I think 2020 – He jumps out on the scene, kind of like I could see him having a year like Jonathan Garvin had his true freshman year, made a few plays here and there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. No, I completely agree with you. I think Harvey is probably going to be the most talented guy that doesn't have a starting position on the team next year. And that's just because of opportunity. That's not, you know, I think there's a lot of seasons in the last 10 years that Harvey would have been one of our starters just based on his talent.
Well, I mean, and if you look to 2021, he's that guy next to Jalen Phillips. And so, bright future for him. Next question. How many successful seasons? And this is from Gino Morato, real good guy. Love talking to Gino. He asked, how many successful seasons at Miami does it take before we lose Lashley to a head coaching job? Two? Question mark, he asks. So what do you think?
So I'm going to give a two-part answer here. I think two is the easy answer. However, if we make the playoff, I think it's one. If we make the playoff this year, you know, and I think there's a pretty easy pathway for us to make the playoff. Even if Clemson is great, you know, I think if we go undefeated in the regular season, we lose to Clemson in the ACC championship, we still have a spot in the playoff, most likely. If that happens, then Lashley's gone and won. Or if we go 11-1, you know, and then with a bowl game, we end up like 12-2 or whatever, then I think Lashley could be gone again. So if we have a really, really great season, it's only going to be 1 year, man.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say two, just because, I mean, Rhett usually isn't, besides his 1 year stint at UConn, he's not a one and done kind of a guy. You know, his first season as offensive coordinator for Auburn, they went to the national championship game, but he was still there for 4 years, I believe. three or four years. And so, and UConn, it just wasn't a good fit. He improved their offense, but it just wasn't a good fit. That's not Rhett Lashley's style. I know Rhett Lashley, he's one of my best friends. And, he stayed at SMU for 2 years. So I think that, I think he stays for 2 years, and in his second season, 2021, is when we really see his offense just absolutely explode, kind of like his second year at SMU. And so I don't even want to think about losing him right now. He's the best thing to happen to Miami since Nevin Shapiro. But so I and I like I hate that question just because it makes me sad already. But I say 2 seasons. Jordan says 1. Do you have a question for us, Jordan?
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, let's see. If we win 10 plus – oh, so this is from BD, Brian Joseph, _07. Thanks for the question, Brian. If we win 10-plus games this upcoming year, do we move into the top 5 for recruiting after National Signing Day?
If we win how many games?
If we win 10-plus games. Let's see. I mean, I think Bama's going to be in the top 5 every year. Ohio State and Clemson are. LSU has a lot of momentum, so they probably will stay. Georgia.
You know who is I think they're 5th in the 24/7 rankings. It's North Carolina.
Interesting.
And which is pretty crazy. Yeah. But I mean, if we pick up if top 5, I don't know, but top 10, 100%. I mean, when we went 10-3 in 2017, our 2018 class was ranked 8th in the country. And so top 5, I think that may be a stretch. I think it depends on, if we win a bowl game, things like that, and what bowl game we go to. Because if we go 11-2 or 12-2, who's to say, and win the Sugar Bowl or the Orange Bowl? Because we're projected to go to the Orange Bowl right now and play Penn State. If we won that game, finished the year with 12, 11 wins, who's to say that we can't pull in a top 5 class? Because, and I don't want to dive deep into this, but everyone saw what is going on with Clemson right now. That got a few issues. And so who's to say that Miami can't, maybe even leapfrog them in recruiting and leapfrog UNC, especially if we beat them on October 24th. So top 10 class, absolutely. Top 5 class, I think that's a stretch, but you never know.
Yeah, I agree. I think top 7 is a safer target. Just because, the blue chip programs I named off, those guys are always right up there, and I don't see any of them falling off. I mean, LSU is probably not going to contend for a title this season, but they're probably going to have a top 6 recruiting class again, just, because Ed O doing his thing. So, yeah, I would say that top 7 is a more likely scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, next question. This is from Craig Smith. He is a other writer at State of the U, someone I would love to have on the show sometime. He asked, if you could pick one recruit to point at and he'd be a rock solid commit, who would it be? I think you and I are going to have the same answer on this. Mm-hmm. My answer is the golden boy, Jake Garcia.
Yeah, man, that's my answer too.
I think, obviously, you want a guy like Romello Brinson, you want a guy like Leonard Taylor, but if you get a 5-star quarterback from California, that is,
yeah,
that's the guy that Miami needs. Just look at the success we've had with California quarterbacks, Ken Dorsey, Brad Kaya, and you need that leader. And you need that ambassador of the class. And if we could pull that switch and pull this off, obviously it would be incredible to get a guy like Leonard Taylor, but it doesn't have the impact of a quarterback like a Jake Garcia.
I agree. And another thing to go along with what you're saying is that we're on the verge of kind of missing out on this QB class. You know, quarterback recruiting is very much a musical chairs game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're dangerously on the verge of being, you know, being one of the people that don't have a seat at the end of the game. So, you know, our quarterback recruiting is struggling right now. So, you know, for all the reasons you said, but then also just for the fact that we need a QB every year, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Because people transfer, people get hurt, things happen. You know, people don't pan out. You know, I don't want to bet on Tyler Van Dyke being a 3-year starter until he is, as much as I love Van Dyke. So.
And that's a very good point, because, you know, I've been tweeting a lot about Jake Garcia lately, and I've gotten like a lot of responses saying, well, are you not sold on Tyler Van Dyke? I'm like, that's not the point. Like, this is a completely different recruiting class. Like, you're supposed to recruit, you know, you got to get one quarterback, you know, in every single recruiting class. And exactly like you said, you can't expect Tyler Van Dyke to be a starter for 3 years. Like, that's just completely – I mean, unless he's Trevor Lawrence, like it's just not going to happen. And I don't think Tyler Van Dyke is Trevor Lawrence. So.
Yeah, and you know, like Van Dyke could be good, but he could even be good and be a late bloomer. You know, it could be a scenario where he's not ready to play in big moments until he's a junior or senior. And I'm not trying to predict that. I'm just saying it's just impossible to know what an 18-year-old is going to look like when he's 22.
Yeah. Or even like what Tyler Van Dyke is. I mean, because so many people are saying that no doubt in their mind, Van Dyke is the starter against Alabama week one next year. I'm like, who's to say Nakozie Perry doesn't, you know, do something? Like, who's to say like our true freshman who we bring, like you can't make those kind of predictions. So, but answering Craig's question, yes, I think we both say Jake Garcia.
Yep, correct. All right, let's see. I got a question here. Okay, this is from my guy Adrian Bestolfi. I'm stealing this one from your Twitter feed, Marsh.
Yeah.
Okay, so from my guy AB. In Manny's first year as defensive coordinator, the defense improved from 90th to 24th. In the country. If Lashley helps the offense make a similar jump and we finished in the top three, in the top one third, I believe, so like the top 33% of all offenses, where do you see our record on year end? So if our offense is like top, you know, 40, if we have a top 40 offense, what's our record essentially?
I still don't think we're good enough to beat Clemson even at our best. And I think that anyone thinking that even if we do have a top three offense that we could beat Clemson, I just don't agree. Because I think this could be one of Dabo's most talented teams at Clemson. But besides that, man, like, cause you think about our defense, there's no way we're going to be out of the top 20, top 25 total defense. I just don't see that happening. And so I hate these questions because I'm so set on my 9-3 prediction. But if you start throwing out these, oh, what if we have a top three offense? I mean, well, then, yeah, we'll probably win 11, 12 games. Like, how could we not? We have a kicker. We have a defense. You throw in a top three offense, something that Miami has probably never had before. And who knows what this school can accomplish in 2020. So I don't know. Like 11, 12 wins. I don't like, would you agree?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I agree. I think it's pretty safe to bet that our defense will be in the top 40. And then if our offense is also, I mean, that's when teams are really good. You know, just having that balanced attack, especially if we're both getting up close to the 20s, which I also think is possible. I think our defense might see a little bit of a lag just from the tempo, you know, and I don't necessarily think that'll be Blake Baker's fault. You know, so it really wouldn't surprise me to see our offense ranked like 30th and our defense ranked, you know, 29th. And I think that's an 11-win team with our schedule, man.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like those questions are just hard to talk about because, I mean, there's so many scenarios and like who's to say that that this team can't accomplish something great. But okay, I have a question. This is again from Robert Hampton. He says, how do you think this O-line will perform and who are the potential starters for the offensive line? And this is like a question that you and I have talked about at length many times.
Yeah.
But we have done it in a little bit since probably spring football. So I'll let you go first on just how you think the offensive line will do.
Have we heard anything from Jared Williams yet? Or is he still a question mark?
Every day I am told that this could be the day. And I'm hearing that Miami is leading.
Okay. Is
driver's seat. I think it's either going to be Miami or Baylor. So let's just say he does come to Miami. Okay. Let's just say he does come to Miami. You know, you put an experienced right tackle, experienced any offensive lineman on that Hurricanes offensive line. It's a huge boost, and especially a guy who has played with De'Aaron King. I think, 2 years ago, he only gave up one or two sacks, which is crazy. I think Zion Nelson gave up 37 against the Gators alone. But I think he would start at right tackle, and I think he would do a phenomenal job. He's used to an offense similar to Rhett Lashley's, very high tempo, running 75 to 80 plays per game. And so I think he would play right tackle. And then at right guard, I would put in DJ Scaife, who I'm a very big fan of. I think he's criminally underrated. I think he just looked, you know, he just gets a bad name because of how the offensive line played as a whole last year.
Yeah.
But I think Scaife is a very, very good player. And I think that once he leaves after his senior season, he could be like a second, third round draft pick at center. I got Corey Gaynor, who I'm also a fan of. Just a workhorse, just will beat your ass, and a guy that'll just drive you into the ground. We got to see a lot more of that, though, this year. Very, very good leader for the offensive line. A lot quieter guy, but, you know, he's been there. He can provide that leadership, and he's he has seen what an offensive line is not supposed to look like, and that's, you know, last year. So when I think of the leader of the offensive line, I think of Corey Gaynor. And then at left guard, got the big boy, Navon Donaldson. He was not at the only week of spring practice just because he's still recovering from an injury. I think he will start at left guard. He's got to tone it down a little, or, you know, I'm wondering how he's going to survive in this Rhett Lashley offense, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you.
He's a big boy, but, and this is his last year, and it kind of sucks because he was a freshman All-American in 2017, but ever since that season, he's kind of just been on a downward trajectory, it seems like. He's so massive. He's huge. And, you know, if he can get that moving, and also we got Garen Justice as the offensive line coach. I think that the offensive line will improve vastly with him. And then also Rhett Lashley's offense. And I'll talk a little bit about that after, you know, you give your starting five. And then at left tackle, that's a good question, man. That's a good question. I'm going to say John Campbell, which I'm not crazy about.
Yeah.
Who Coach Justice opened spring practice with at left tackle was John Campbell. He played in two games, I believe, in last season, or he played in a few more, but I think he started two games. Campbell's a guy that we've been expecting to make that jump, and he just hasn't yet. But you never know. I mean, this is his third offensive line coach in 3 years. So third offensive coordinator in 3 years. And so I think you have to give players a little bit of leeway when it comes to that. But I've been talking too much. What are your takes?
Well, I have a few questions that I want to go over first, if that's okay, that maybe you can help me out with. So Scaife played mostly right tackle last year. Do we think that is he mobile enough that he could play left tackle? Could he switch over to the left side?
I know that people have talked about it, but I mean, his best, in my opinion, is when he's at right guard.
Okay.
If you have a solid starter at left tackle in John Campbell, then I don't think so. But okay. I mean, Coach Justice, he's open to switching players around. I mean, Zion Nelson was they were trying him out at right tackle in spring ball. So you never know, man. You never know.
Yeah, that's my thing is left tackle is probably my spot that I'm the least comfortable with. I feel like, you know, like you said, Corey Gaynor is a lock for starting center. You know, I really like, I like Ja'Kai Clark. I think he can have a solid season.
I love Ja'Kai Clark.
Yeah. So, you know, I like him at one of the guard spots. At the other guard spot, you know, I think, you go with Navon Donaldson. Like you said, you know, if he's in good shape. So to me, that left tackle spot is the biggest question mark. I really want to get the best player there that can play, you know, whether it's Zion or it's DJ Scaife. But, you know, if we have to put Scaife at right guard, I'd probably, dude, I don't know. I'm not a huge John Campbell guy.
I'm not either.
I'd love for him to prove me wrong. You know what? Okay. I'm just going to go for it. Okay. So I'm going to go right tackle Jared Williams. Right guard, I'm going to go with Ja'Kai Clark. Center, Corey Gaynor. Left guard, I'm going to go with I'll go with Navon. And then left tackle, I'm going to go with DJ Scaife. I think that we move him over and he plays amazing.
Hey, I would love that.
Yeah.
I mean, left tackle was by far, you know, our biggest struggle last year. And so, and you got to have that left tackle position anchored down.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, what if Isaiah Walker is cleared to play and he starts? I don't think that'll happen just because we saw what happens when you throw in a true freshman out there at left tackle. And I just don't think – and I think that was a mistake in Zion Nelson's growth and just his development. And so I don't think they want to rush Isaiah Walker because he's just too – special of a prospect and has just so much potential. You don't want to throw him in the fire too quickly, ruin his confidence, but oh my God, I got to take a breath. Who knows? Like, I mean, he's the left tackle of the future, but
yeah. And well, to be fair, I think we kind of made Zion Nelson like the scapegoat for a lot of our offensive problems last year. And, I'm not out on him yet. I'm really not. I think he showed some flashes. I think we put him in a horrible situation as a true freshman starting left tackle, especially going up against the Florida Gators for his first game. But I'm not out on Zion yet. I really wouldn't be surprised if he's our starting left tackle and can, you know, put together a pretty solid season. You know, he has the experience now, so.
Yeah, and honestly, like, He people don't give him credit for how much he improved over last season. Like, the dude was a two-star recruit. He came in, like, at 200 pounds.
Yep.
Put on a bunch of weight. Like, people don't realize how much weight he gained in such a short process. But towards the end of the season, especially games like Florida State, Louisville, he really started to play well. And if Jared Williams doesn't come, I may put – Zion Nelson at my right tackle. Who knows? Or John Campbell. I don't know. There's so many questions, and it all depends on if Jared Williams is coming to Miami.
If Williams doesn't come, then I probably have Zion and Scaife as our tackles. Honestly, I think Zion is the starter again at left tackle if Williams doesn't come.
Yeah. I mean, I it's not crazy to rule out. And I also love you giving some love to Jakai Clark, because I'm a big Jakai Clark fan. I love his hustle and his run blocking skills. And so,
yeah, I was very satisfied with Jakai Clark, you know, for a freshman. Like, that's, can't ask more from what he did last year. You know, it's not like he was a superstar, but I'm confident in him going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, next question is from Gunner. He always puts in questions. We appreciate you, Gunner. His first question, he says, what is the worst record you could see Miami having? So we've gone so positive, and now, like, we're back to the depths of hell again.
So let's set a rule for this question, though. Are we going to go a healthy Miami team? Like, no, we don't lose any impact players, because – I mean, if Derek King goes down, then
God,
then the house of cards can just completely fall over, right? So should we say that no, there's no major key player long-term injuries?
Yeah, I think this is everyone is healthy. Like, there's nothing major, nothing crazy.
Okay. Well, you want my answer? Because I'm gonna throw it at you real quick.
Throw it at me, bro. You're the pitcher. I'm the catcher. I want the fastball.
6-7.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, yeah, I mean, dude.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, 6-7. I don't think it can get much worse than that. You know, we have a problem playing down to our competition, and we have a very easy schedule. We're too talented to just completely fall apart unless some crazy, crazy locker room stuff happens. But you know what? 500 is, I mean, we've done that 2 years in a row, man. I can see it again.
Literally 13-13 the past two seasons. I would say 6-7 as well, because UNC is good. I know that you have thoughts about UNC, and we both kind of think they might be a little overhyped, but they're still good. They're very good. There's a reason why they are favored to win the conference. Going up to Michigan State, everyone is disagreeing with me, but I think that is going to be a loss. And I said that North Carolina was a loss last year. No one agreed with me. So I'm very confident in my predictions as a Hurricane fan. At Virginia Tech in November, our players don't like the cold. I don't like the cold. Who wants to go to Blacksburg in November? They got Inter Sandman playing. And if they got fans there, I don't think we win that game. You got Wake Forest on the road on a Friday night. That's a trap game. You know, Wake Forest, Demon Deacons, you know, what is that? Harry Potter? Like, what the hell is a Demon Deacon? Like, they'll come up and scare you. And then Georgia Tech in Atlanta, you know, like, Georgia Tech scares the absolute hell out of me. I have nightmares about Georgia Tech.
And I think we are all overlooking Temple and UAB as well. Both of those teams were very good last year for, you know, for where they are in the whole conference mix, you know, for like group of five teams, they both had really good seasons. So, if the wheels come off, you know, like those games could be the Central Michigan where, you know, where we're all kind of like something's not right here, you know?
and what about, I mean, and especially, I mean, can you imagine how pumped up those Temple players are going to be facing Manny Diaz, the guy who left them after a few hours?
Yeah, man, I totally agree. So, I mean,
and then what about, and you never know about Florida State. Like, I don't think we lose to Florida State, but I also didn't think that we were going to get down 27-7 at home, you know, 2 years ago. So, like, yeah. Who's to say? Oh God! Now negative Marsh is here. Oh boy! Oh God! And the worst record I could see Miami having, I don't think it happens though, is 6-7.
Yeah.
Oh. And then we've won one bowl game since 2006. So I mean, like, you can't convince me that you would take the Hurricanes in any bowl game, because we literally just played Louisiana Tech and got our asses handed to us, and so. But again, this is a new team. This is a new team. New Miami. The new Miami. So I don't think 6-7 happens. But yes, Jordan and I are in agreement that that is the absolute – like, that is the Manny Diaz is fired. He might be banned from the city of Miami if he goes 6-7 again.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah. That, like, last year, like, I'm still, like, seeking therapeutic help. Like, I need to, like, my psychiatrist and my therapist have been getting calls left and right since December 26th against Louisiana Tech. And so I can't, my mental health, I can't go through that again. Next question.
Can I ask you a question, though? So this, I'm going to submit to the mailbag.
All right.
Okay. So say the unthinkable happens, right? Say we go 6-7. Manny Diaz is fired. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of one Mario Cristobal. What happens there? Like we give him a call. We say, Mario, we got your buyout. We're going to give you a 25% raise. I don't know what he's making at Oregon, but, you know, so 25%. So if he's making $4 million, we're giving him $5 million a year, right? We give him a 25% raise. We say you can get the staff that you want, whoever it is, you know, kind of a blank check for the staff, as long as it's within reason. If you're Mario, do you make that move? I mean, considering where our program would be at that point.
I mean, if we went 6-7, you have to think that that would be – I mean, because I think that this past year was the lowest we've ever been. If we went 6-7 again, nothing – would top that. Like, you think Duck is a pain to deal with on Twitter now? Oh my gosh, can you imagine if we went 6-7 for the second consecutive season?
I might have to block his phone number if that happens.
I'm Mario and I see the program, we've just gone 6-7 the past 2 years, 7-6 the year before. It depends on how Oregon did this in 2020, but yeah, I make that move. Like, you, like, he has that pride, that Miami pride that these former players have. I mean, he was in the 30 for 30. He was in the Orange Bowl. Like, he's Manny Diaz, but he actually played football and played for the Hurricanes. And so he knows what this program and I'm sure if Michael Irvin or any of these guys had coaching credentials or anything like that, they would suit the hell up too, because they hate, like, they can't stand seeing Miami fall to what they've become. And so, yeah, I mean, here's the thing, do we tank to get Mario?
I don't know. See, dude, I'm not even sure I agree with you there. If I'm Mario and, you know, the Canes have a losing record over 3 years and he's at Oregon with all that Nike money, I'm not sure.
But you also have to think that if Miami is actually pursuing Mario, the money that we have to be throwing at him is,
yes, you're right,
pretty good.
You're right. And then I'm going to add a little bit to what you said, and maybe this is changing the subject and going in a new direction. But why is it that we feel like we have to have a Miami guy as our head coach? I mean,
I love that you asked that, because I have been wondering this forever. And it's not just head coach, but it's coordinators. Oh my God. My bed just collapsed. Oh my God. My bed just collapsed. Oh, my brother's going to be so angry. Anywho, but I've been asking this question so long. And it's also like coordinators and everything. Canes fans say this all the time, and it's so annoying. They're like, oh, well, we have to get a guy with that, you know, he's a Hurricane, or he has to have that Miami connection. Why?
Yeah,
why?
I mean,
like, why the hell do we need to? That's what, like, the past few years we've had Miami guys, and we've sucked ass.
Yeah, and well, here's the thing, dude, is, Larry Coker wasn't a Miami guy. Jimmy Johnson wasn't a Miami guy. Butch Davis wasn't a Miami guy.
Miami guy.
Howard wasn't, Dennis Erickson wasn't. So none of our championship winning coaches are Miami guys.
I know. And so, that's why I love Coach Likens and Lashley and Justice, because they're not Miami guys. And I think that's what this program has been needing, because we keep trying to just be regular old Miami. Like, we're because we're so quote unquote different than college football. I think that we're different from college football, but that doesn't mean that we can't go after head coaches just because they come from Texas or they come from California. Maybe what this program has been lacking the past 15 years. And I think I've said this at length, that we are so set in our ways that a guy has to be a quote unquote Miami guy, that we have made horrible coaching hires just based off, you know, if we know the guy or not. And so and these three new offensive coaches, they're pumping this new blood and this new life into this program. And that's what this Miami has been missing. It's humbling ourselves, which Miami fans are not very good at.
Yeah. I mean, who's to say that the thing that, that, you know, everyone complains about the South Florida diva, quote unquote. And, you know, I'm not going to get into that because I don't know. But who's to say that those personalities don't need a guy like PJ Fleck? You know, maybe they need a wake up call. Maybe they need a guy that comes in and he's just like, hey, guess what? I don't care what you did in high school. I don't care how many Twitter follows you have. I don't care how many Instagram followers you have. Like, none of that matters, because if you don't show up to play on Saturdays, then you're not going to play at all. You know, maybe we need that attitude. And I mean, I know Miami has like a legendary, you know, high school football program, or, you know, just like the whole South Florida area is legendary for high school football. You got so many schools like St. Thomas Aquinas and you know, Booker T. Washington, that just have like these incredible storied programs. But maybe a guy who doesn't care about any of that is the right answer.
Just a
thought.
No, and if we say that, then we're lepers. Then we're freaking, like, we're looked at as a pawn. Oh, my God! They're against South Florida! How the hell?
Yep.
Don't even get me started. But, yeah, great question, great question. Okay, one more question before we wrap this up. It is from Gunner again. He says, what are three recruits Miami could realistically get that they are not projected to get if they pull off a 10-plus win season? That's a lengthy question. I'm going to say Jake Garcia, Leonard Taylor, and you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Jaden Hood decommitted from Michigan and came to Miami. I'm going to throw it out there. Or someone like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm with you. I think, you know, we're in the conversation for these five-star kids that we always miss out on. If we win 10 games, you know, I think we see James Williams as a, you know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah, completely forgot about him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so why not James Williams, Leonard Taylor, and Jake Garcia? That's going to be my three. Is if we win 10 games, I mean, there's so much hype that really we could get anyone. So I'm going to go with the guys that have at least flirted with Miami.
Yeah, absolutely. And who, I mean, and like I said, with everything going on with Clemson, Jason Marshall could replace Miami with, or Clemson with Miami. I don't know. It's so much hinges, and this is almost contradicting ourselves, because I was going to say so much hinges on us winning, but look at the kids that we're getting, and we just went 6-7.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, I think it was Roman that tweeted just a few hours ago that, he was like, wow, these new coaches aren't having the same problems landing guys after 6-7. And you know, I don't know. Well, it'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, well, thank you everyone for the questions. I always love doing mailbag episodes. We might record at the end of the week. We got some guests that want to come on. But other than that, everyone, please stay safe out there. Don't be an idiot. Be smart when you tweet.
Yep.
I don't know. Yeah. Let me ask you something. Do you watch Arrested Development?
So I've seen the first season before.
Hilarious.
It is hilarious, yeah.
It is so underrated. That is one of the funniest shows I've ever seen.
It is. It's incredibly funny. And, yeah, it's like, I don't know. I just love.
I don't know why I'm ending the episode with this, but it just, I remembered that I wanted to ask you.
Yeah. No, I've seen it. I mean, it's one of those shows that I've always meant to, like, watch more of, but I never got around to it. But yeah, season one is hilarious, and I've heard that, you know, it keeps that same energy for a few seasons. So,
like, I just don't, like, because you have, like, shows like The Office, Seinfeld, what, but, like, Arrested Development, literally, you're laughing for 20 straight minutes.
Yeah.
Like, the Job character, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, he's so funny, man.
When he says Michael, like, it is the funniest thing in the world. But yeah, I'm hooked on it right now. I've been binge watching it. I'm almost done with season two. I would highly recommend doing that. I'm taking a break from Star Wars because I've just been watching the same one over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. Which episode?
Well, I've been watching. Whenever I'm bored and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, I always just put on Revenge of the Sith. Just okay. Because it's so entertaining. I rewatched the old ones like back in November. You're not a big original movies guy, right? Like when it comes to Wars.
I mean, I like them. I think they're great movies. But I was gonna give a hot take that they're a little bit overrated. I think especially people overrate the acting in the script. You know, I get that Attack of the Clones especially has a horrible script and, you know, not the greatest dialogue, but I think people are forgetting that the original trilogy movies they're not Citizen Kane. You know, they're not The Godfather.
They're definitely not The Godfather.
Yeah,
it's just so slow, almost like A New Hope. I was watching it the other day, and I just got bored. And I'm not saying that I don't love the originals, because I do. But, yeah. A New Hope just takes so long. And, like, everyone says that Empire Strikes Back is the best one. I very wholeheartedly disagree. I think Return of the Jedi is better. But I don't know. Like, I don't know. And I I was watching – hold on. I'm okay. I was watching The Last Skywalker, the last one that was made, and yeah, that's another story, but I just needed a break from Star Wars, man, and Arrested Development is that break.
Dude, I wept. I wept out of sadness when I saw 8 and 9, you know, The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker.
The Last Jedi was so bad.
I was just like, what are they doing? What are they doing? I mean, you know, because I'm like a mega nerd. Like, you open up my closet from my childhood, and a bookshelf full of Star Wars books, like the expanded universe. I mean, there's like a 10,000 year timeline that is pretty well filled in, with, you know, just novels and stories and comics, whatever. And, like, I know all that stuff. I could, I could give you a pretty brief rundown of that whole timeline. And, dude, just these new movies just disrespected my entire childhood, man.
That's how I felt when they came out with The Hobbit. Because I'm such a big Lord of the Rings fan, and The Hobbit sucked.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, The Last Jedi, I refuse to rewatch it. Because it is that bad. Like, the last scene when Luke is with he's battling Ben.
Yep.
It's so bad. Yeah. Like, when he brushes it off his shoulder, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, you can't come up with something better. Brad Kaya could write a better Star Wars movie than The Last Jedi.
Oh, 100%. Brad can do anything, okay?
Brad.
I don't want to hear anyone say anything bad about Brad ever again.
You know what? Let's end it on that. Brad can do anything. Brad, if you're listening, we love you. Hope you're good and you can do anything. All right. Should we record one more at the end of the week? What do you say, partner?
Yeah, dude, let's do it. Let's try to get one out on Friday.
Absolutely. I just love doing this. Like, I love doing this. Like, this is so great. And hopefully we have some good news about this podcast coming very soon. So.
Yeah, I know we kind of teased everyone with that, and it might have been a little premature, but it's still in the works. Good stuff in the works.
Absolutely, absolutely. We love you guys. We love Canes fans. Stay safe out there. Jordan, you're such a great person. I love you. And go Canes as always.
Hey, go Canes. And I feel the same about you, Marsh. So go Canes. All right, see you, man.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like,